Blog Talk Radio.
Makes you happy, you know. Sure, brew on it doesn't make any difference to me. But never call me late for dinner. But I'm glad you joined us today in this study sessions. on the Real Talk for Real People show, which is a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. You see, Friday, I must apologize to you. I had some sad information came to me at a moment's notice, and I was ill-prepared to carry on the show. My mind was distracted, understandably so. Although the matter has not been handled in its finality, which will be handled further on the latter part of this weekend and the first of next week, so many things has been going on, and I felt it would be selfish of me, seeing so much is happening with the word of Yah, and also in my contemporary comments. So I felt, what would be in the best interest for both parties? And I said, Yom Suf, you can sit around and feel sorry for yourself and feel sad and whatnot, but that's not going to change anything. It'll get better. You've been there before. It'll get better. And it certainly is getting better. That's true. But the sharp edges of it still affect you somewhat, but nevertheless, it gets better, especially if you use Yah as a medication in order to do so. And also, by sharing the word of Yah, that'll help you. And also, talking about contemporary comments will help you. And be that as it may, I was inclined to come home. And I said, Yom Suf, what would you say? Well, most importantly, we're going to do the studies on Yah. That's the most important thing. But in those contemporary comments, something is going on in this prison system, this captivity. You see, they are killing us by dime a dozen. I suspect that is a distraction for something. Look over here. Well, they may be doing something over there. As in the case of Brother Brown in North Carolina. Another brother shot in the back of the head and in the back. Several police officers. And the sad thing about that today, as they said, they're going to share the video camera with the family. Now, you had 8 police officers, they said, was on the scene, but they only had a 20-second snippet. That's all what happened. Hold on, wait just a minute. Hold on. That's all y'all got 20 seconds out of 8 police officers, camera, and then a camera on the pole across the street, and that's all you got? Yeah, I'm very suspicious, brothers and sisters. I don't really know what's going on, but I know it ain't good for us. That's the truth. My thing is, keep your heads on the swivel. Don't get distracted. And most importantly, keep infused with the word of Elohim. Because by the looks of it, we're going to need it. Welcome to the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Yom Suf, and let's get started. But before we do, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Suf Ari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. I appreciate that.
Y'all condolences go out to you and the family in regards to your sister.
Right.
And we're glad that you're back full strength. And I pray the Most High continue to be with you and the family.
I wouldn't say full country, but I'm getting there. I've been here before, you know, with Robin in 2011 when she got sick and passed away. So I have almost 10 years of experience of something, the unexpected happening. So you always sometimes, Cartier, has to look for the unexpected to happen. And even that being said, you will get through it.
And I know what it is, man, to lose a sibling. because I lost my big brother, Mikael. Oh,
okay.
About 2 years ago.
Oh, you did, brother?
You never prepared for that.
No, you ain't never prepared, especially with Cottrell, when you're in the room. When you're in the room, when they pull the plug, brother, around that Friday, around about 9, 10, there's no easy thing to say your sibling breathe their last breath. That is a devastating. I mean, you seen them when your mama brought them home from the hospital when they were babies. And then to see them lose their last breath, Cadre, is a very traumatic experience. Believe that.
And the killings that you spoke of earlier, about a dozen,
right?
That affects us too, because that's our family as well.
It is. And so add that upon my sister. Imagine. Just imagine, brother. It's hard.
And his brother, I don't know his first name, the brother Brown?
Yeah, Andre Brown, I believe.
Andre Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They shot him in the back.
Yeah, in the back of the head. In the back. More than one
That's
shot.
That's why there's only 28 seconds out, because he wasn't a threat. He might have been a risk, but he wasn't a threat. Like
right.
we've seen with the George Floyd trial. Yeah,
right.
People are a risk, but they're not a threat necessarily. And it shows the fear that they have of our people, where they shoot first and ask questions later.
Well, that's how they do us, Cartrell, unfortunately. It's just how they do
it. Egypt all over again. You know, kill a young man, keep the women alive. And it's an undeclared war that we're in.
Right.
And there's some books that they took out of the scriptures. Called the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Right.
And the Dead Sea Scrolls go into explicit detail as to the war that we're in. There's a war that's going on between the sons of light and the sons of darkness.
Exactly.
And most of the sons of light don't have a clue that there's a war going on with them. But the sons of darkness are fully engaged.
The sons of light, sometimes ignorance is bliss in their case. They're so ignorant, they think everything is what they see with their physical eye and not behind the scenes. That's why I say keep your head on the swivel, physically and spiritually. So they only see what they're seeing with their physical eye and not seeing the war in itself in its entirety with their spiritual eye. And I'm going to tell you a reason why, Cartrell, because as we always said, lack of study.
And Proverbs says, without a vision, the people perish.
Mm-hmm.
And my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Which is why this show right here is so critical, because we're trying to dispense that knowledge, that wisdom, that understanding that our people are not being taught. And we got critics out there criticizing us, but who else is out there teaching and showing Yah's word in the manner that we're doing it?
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Certainly, Cadrell. All right, Cadrell, if you're done with your commentaries, and bless your family also. I'm certainly done. And so let's help our students, fellow students, we're all students. So Cartrell and I may be the head students, but we all students. So let's help our fellow students get some knowledge. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 29. May the Most High bless us by the study of his word, but most importantly, if I can say this and be redundant in saying this, most importantly, the application of his word. Okay. All right. The Philistines mustered all their forces at Ephek, while Israel was encamping at the spring at Jezreel. The Philistines' lords came marching, each with his units of hundreds and thousands. King David and his men came marching last. Now, mind you, he's with the force of King Achish. And he was supposed to be King Achish's bodyguard. Because, you know, King Saul had run him off, so he was over there in Gath. So he's marching against Israel with King Achish and the other Philistine are kings. The Philistines.
And we got to remember what happened to the day prior, because King Saul went to the witch of Endor, and she raised up the prophet Samuel from the grave, and the prophet told the king, "You're gonna join me tomorrow." So
well, now,
tomorrow.
Now you're gonna find out what's gonna happen tomorrow, and it's finna go down just like the prophet had told King Saul by the witch in Endor. So the Philistine officers asked, hey, everybody knew who he was. We couldn't hide. Who those Hebrews? Why, that's King David, the servant of King Saul of Israel. That's one of King Saul's men. King Achish answered the Philistine officer, he's been with me for a year or more. I found no fault in him from the day he defected until now. But the Philistine officers were angry with him, King Achish. And the Philistine officer said to him, send that man back. Let him go back to the place you assigned him. But let him go back to wherever you got him at. We don't want him going with us. He should march down with us. He should not march down to the battle with us. Or else he may become our adversary in battle. Because we know he loved him some Israel. Oh, no. He ain't going to flip the script on us. And we know how he fight. He get down with the get out. For which, what could that fellow appease his master if not with the heads of these men? Now, how can he appease Saul but with the head of us, these men? Remember, here's Dawood, whom they sang as a member. They got a song about it, number one hit. Saul has slain his thousand. You know how they sing it? You know how they sing it in that. And they said, Dawood, his 10,000, and he ain't going with us. Oh, hell no.
So the Philistines wasn't stupid at all, was it?
No, it's the number one hit, man. Number one with a bullet. King Achish summoned Dawood and said to him, as Yah lives, you are honest man. And I would like to have you serve in my forces. For I found no fault with you from the day you joined me until now. But you're not acceptable to the other kings. So go back in peace and do nothing to displease the Philistine kings. Go ahead.
Our bitter enemy, the Philistine, King David, took the giant's head, their champion. And yet, he still manages to make a relationship with the king of his enemies.
Well, Cottrell.
And the king of his enemies trust him because he's a man of his word.
Cottrell, we read in the book of Psalms that Yah will make your enemies your footstool. Mm-hmm. He ingratiated himself with his enemies. As you said, he had took Goliath's head, did all kind of damage to the Philistines.
That's right.
But here's what they did know about this fellow. No matter how much woe he put up, this man remained of his word. He gonna, whatever he said, he going to do it. He going to keep his word. King Asher, I know you're a man of your word. But the other kings don't want you.
They can see that the Most High was with him.
Exactly. Because they told me they got a number one song on you. What a hit.
And they didn't treat him like Shimshon, did they?
No, they certainly did.
They're like, Delilah, you got to find out what the strength of this man is. You got to find out his secret so he can get him, right?
Well, they knew his secret was Yah like Samson. Samson was much more of a physical level. King Dawood was much more of a physical and a spiritual level. And so there was
ain't no breaking that secret.
No, So they didn't want to trample with him.
So if he had got himself a woman and he told her his strength.
Right.
His strength is that he's anointed. You can't reverse that.
No. Mm-mm. No, you can't. Dawood, however, said to Achish, but what have I done? What fault have you found in your servant from the day I appeared before you? to this day, that I should not go and fight against the enemies of my king, my lord the king. Achish replied to Dawood, I know you are as acceptable to me as an angel of Yah. To me. They don't know you like I know you. But the Philistine officers have decided that you must not march with us into battle. So rise early in the morning, you and your Lord's servant who came with you, you and your men. Rise early in the morning and leave as soon as it gets light. Accordingly, Dawood and his men rose early in the morning to leave, to return to the land of the Philistines, because they were at that time in the land of the Hebrews. So he told them to go back to Philistine. While the Philistines marched up to Jezreel. Go ahead, Katria. What's your commentary?
We can see the Most High's hand is in the affairs of man.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did not want King David to fight against his own people.
No.
So it wasn't up to King David to make that decision because he's running from his own king.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, still, the Most High made it so that the king of the Philistines sent him home. Like, you can't fight with us because the other officer says, nah, you might turn on us. And he played it. He's like, I've been loyal to you. What's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
I'll fight your enemies for you.
Right.
But he knew that the Philistines would not let him go to that battle. So he played it like he's really loyal to this king, which he's really not.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I've been with you or to this day that I may not go to fight against the enemies of my lord, the king? Now, he's
right.
Just playing with him. Come on now. Come on now. King David playing with him. And he know that Yah sent that message to that king that I'm not going to fight my brother with the Philistine.
Exactly.
So he didn't have anything to do with the demise of King Saul, which is about to happen. The Most High didn't want King David to be a part of any of that.
Exactly. All right. All right. You done with your commentaries, Contrail?
Just the fact that the Most High, you know, will use our enemies, you know, to benefit us.
Well, you know, it said in the book of Proverbs, King Dawood, the Most High will make your enemies your footstool. And that's certainly the case. No doubt. Just trust in him. Stick with him. He ain't gonna let you down. All right, chapter 30, brothers and sisters. By the time Dawood and his men arrived at Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid into Negev against Ziklag. They stormed Ziklag and burned it down. They had taken the women and its captives, low-born and high-born alike. They did not kill any, but carried them off and went their way. When Dawood and his men came to the town and found it burned down, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captives, Dawood and his troops with him broke into tears. You know what, y'all? In this culture, they say a man ought to cry in this Western culture. You don't ought to cry. See, we ain't Western. We're Easterners. Ain't nothing wrong with a man crying. It don't make him less manly to cry for your people, okay? Don't get it twisted. Don't be inundated with the false notion. Oh, you don't want to cry for your women. You don't want to cry for your mama, your sister, brother. Just be a stone, hard, cold killer. And they surely are that. Stone, hard, cold killers. And that's what they are. But see, you can't subscribe to that notion of what a man is. Because their notion of what a man is or what a woman is, it's quite different from what our notion of what a man or a woman is. See, a man is supposed to cry. I remember the time, I'm trying to play that song I heard back in the day. It wasn't an OJ song, We Cried Together. It was a song by Eddie Kendrick. He said, each night I cry a little. Each night I die just a little. Hey, don't lock my singing country up. I'm not Eddie Kendrick now. I'm trying to get high as I can get, okay?
Hey, I never heard that song, but we got so many songs about us crying.
Yeah.
I want to go outside in the rain.
In the rain. Cause I don't want you to see. Hey, that's why I didn't come on. That's why I didn't come on Friday, Cadrell, truth be told. Cause I had to go outside, Cadrell, and fellow students in the rain. Like I said, when you lose people.
You know we're the same people because we got so many songs.
Don't
I know a
don't.
Man ain't supposed to cry. But these things I can't hold inside.
I know a man ain't supposed to cry. Losing you would be my life, you see.
My life, you see.
Don't you mean
that to me. Much to me.
That I found out yesterday. I heard it through the grapevine. I'm about to lose my mind. Honey. They don't know about that, Cadrell. These young folks don't know.
Well, David and his men knew about that, didn't they?
If they lose a woman, you got a good woman you love, man, she will make you cry.
And somebody took her?
Hey, right, you're going to cry, but you're going to get angry. And then it's going to be some hurting time. We're going to find out.
Ain't nothing wrong with a man crying about his women,
his children. Ain't nothing wrong with a man. But get up, stop all that crying, stop running out your door, get up and take care of your business now. You can't just cry your wife back. You can't cry your little children back. They cried. They got up. They wiped their tears and wiped their nose. Hey, man, we're going to get busy now. They done took my wife, took my little children. Oh, it's going down now. Check it out. Let's go.
Who's the culprit?
The Amalekites.
Oh, now you know why the Most High said, I'm going to have war with Amalek forever. Okay. Amalek can fight the mighty men. He took the mighty men's women and children. That's his M.O.
Hey, they still like our women and children, partner.
Oh, yeah. They won't confront us.
They got them on commercials. They got them on commercials, mixed marriages and everything. They live in that brown sugar, brother. Hold on, let's get back.
And they shoot the men down.
Man, you already know. Come on now, stop it. Let me tell you, this. Look how deep these brothers cry for their women and their children until they had no strength left for weeping. They cried themselves sick. They cried themselves and they couldn't cry no more. Now, if King Dawood and his mighty warriors could cry for their women, their children, today they didn't have even they didn't have no more. I'm tired, man. I can't cry no more. All my tears gone, dog. I cried the last tear. What are we gonna
get
do
up,
now?
Mike Tyson? Get up, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Get up, Joe Frazier. Get up, George Foreman. Stop that crying.
Yeah.
Act like a man.
Man up. Time to play everything we read about
like
that. We
man
read
up.
About that. Man up. Time and place for everything under the sun. Now, if they need that crying, now it's time and place to tell them behind.
Young Fu, it shows that they had more emotional attachment to our women and children.
Oh,
than
not
we
like
today.
That. These jokers, they ain't got no attachment to the women and children. They call them bitches and hoes. They call them.
Terrible.
They call them bitches and hoes. They call them little children. Little bastards, that you ain't mine. You know, they got a whole lot of little terrible name for their women and little children now. They ain't got no love for their women and children like they should. An altar. Okay, unlike our founding father, they had love for their women and children. They cried so much they cried they couldn't cry no more. But they ain't crying for them now.
Do you see how the mothers talk to their children today?
Oh, yeah, I've been in stores, man. I've been in stores shopping. And I get somebody screaming out of alley, shut your little mouth or I'll beat your ass. You like your damn day. I said, oh, Lord, what's going on? The little boy pulled by the arm, the little boy crying and whatnot. I want to say something so bad, Cottrell. I want to say, but I didn't want to get into it with her. I'm glad she didn't hit the child in front of me. Then I had to jump into the meeting.
Most of the men in our community, mm-hmm. because we're raised by our mothers, not our
right.
fathers, we're raised
right.
by our mothers.
Right.
And what is their spirit towards their little boys? And towards their men that they don't marry.
It ain't nice, brother. It ain't nice.
So it got to be better, right? Our women got to have more respect for their men, their sons, their fathers, so that we produce great men in our community.
Well, they got to
your mother hurts you, she don't love you.
Study nothing. And you don't know, Cottrell, if you ain't studying nothing and applying nothing that you study, if you just studying Western culture, you just applying Western culture. Western culture work for Western people. They don't work for
us. Right.
So, if they don't, I mean, that's what we said, these studies, make the application. King Dawood's two wives had been taken captive. Anoam of Jezreel and Abigail, wife of Noble from Campbell. King Dawood was in great danger for the troops didn't sown it. Man, you done got our way. Come on now, man. We had to go with them Philistines and whatnot. They didn't come in and took our wives, man. I want to hurt somebody bad. Woo. But now, let me tell you what. If we wasn't with you, they would have took our little children and took our gorgeous, beautiful. Man, we out stoned you. Man, you see how fickle we are, Cartrell.
like Dover and Pinches, bro. We're turning our masters in a second.
And we certainly do still now, Cartrell.
Doberman pinches, baby.
I'm telling you, we are pit bull toward one another. So they threatened to stone him. For all the troops were embittered on account of that. Why? Because of their sons and daughters. King, now, here's the beautiful thing I like about King Dawood. King Dawood knew how to get an antidote. He didn't lean to his own understanding. He didn't make rash decisions when he was faced with a huge problem, a huge crisis, and small ones too. He went to the solution maker. He went to Yah. He said, oh, hold on now. Hold on. Stop the press. And he says to Yah. So King Dawood saw strength in Yah, his Elohim. As we ought to do. Because ain't no matter marching, protesting, and whatnot, and Bogan going to get it for you. He saw strength in Yah, his Elohim. Go ahead, Cartrell.
This is the essence of King David,
mm-hmm.
the sentence you just read there.
Right.
Which caused him to write so many psalms that are so powerful, because that's his first line of defense, the Most High.
Yeah, Cartrell.
He didn't turn to the priest. He didn't turn to the prophet. He went straight to Yah, always, every time.
Just like I did, Cartrell, when I came on this show tonight.
Yeah.
I went straight to the moneymaker. Yah, what I, you want me to get back on the Real Talk, Real People show? You know, I'm hurting a little bit. He said, man, you're going to be all right. You're going to get through this. Get it back on the show. So praise Yah today, Cartrell.
So we see King David in his life, not just through the Psalms, but how his life is playing out.
Well, it became an intricate part of his behavior and his decision-making. And it should become an intricate part of your behavior and your decision-making. So King Dawood said to the priest, Abner.
I don't need to interrupt you, but,
yeah.
If somebody get ready to stone you, right, after you've been loyal to them, after you just showed them the way, you protected them, they've been down with you. And now because you got a crisis, they want to kill you. What would you do?
brother. If I'm looking at all them rocks, I'm going to start praying to y'all real hard, okay?
It ain't rocks today. AK-47.
I'm looking at them
AK-47.
I'm looking at them AK-47. I'm going to praise y'all. Praise y'all. And these AK-47 pointing at Yansu's head. Oh, y'all. Come to me, y'all. Show me what to do. Should I run? Should I hide? What should I do? Y'all think I'm playing now. I'm serious.
Get away from these wild and angry Negroes.
Yeah, man. Come
we
on,
man. We've changed too much, have we?
Yeah.
You've been loyal to King David all this time.
Mm-hmm.
And now because you're facing the first, it's not that his wife is there. His two wives is gone, too.
They don't care about none of that.
Too. Huh?
They don't care about none of that. Man, these folks got our children and our gorgeous wife, man. Somebody got to get her. Somebody got to get hurt.
Accountability. Who's responsible for this? While you had us running with the Philistine,
yeah.
You left the camp unprotected.
Not each other, folks. Somebody got to get hurt. And we, Cartrell said something that's important. We are like pit bulls when it comes to one another. We will turn on each other unfortunately because it's in our DNA. We need to stop it. So, Prince Abner, the son of Amlek, bring me the ephod up to bring. Bring the ephod up to me. When Abiathar brought up the ephod to King David, King David inquired of Yah, shall I pursue those raiders? I mean, he's asking just coming day questions. And some of y'all think Yah ain't got no time for you. But Yah had time to answer these questions. These are simple questions. Shall I pursue those raiders? Number one, will I overtake them? Number two, and Yah answered, pursue, for you shall overcome, and you shall rescue. Let me tell you something. You ain't got no problem too small for Yah. If it's bothering you, go to Yah. Yamsu can assure you. If it's bothering you, go to Yah. Ain't no problem you got too small for Yah. If you in a relationship with him to answer your problem. These may be simple to you. But they weren't simple to King David and his men. These were serious issues. Now, what may be simple to you may be important to someone else. And in your life, what you worry about what somebody else think, well, folk going to think that's small. It ain't folk business what your problem is. If you got a problem, don't look at your problem through the eyes of other folk. Look at your problem that affects you through your own eyes and go to Yah and get you some solutions. Okay? You're worried about the wrong thing. Worried about what folks think about your problem.
And y'all
see,
too.
Yeah, go ahead.
What you're saying is so important.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about King David here.
Right.
And they made that song about him. Saul,
right.
King Saul killed his 1,000.
Right.
And David was 10,000.
Right.
So just based on that song alone, you know you're a mighty man.
Right.
Why do I have to stop to ask Yah?
Because
I need to go back and get my wife because I'm a warrior. I'm a conqueror. I'll be the people greater and mightier than the Amalekites.
That
why
don't
should
make
I stop and ask Yah? Because I know I already got
if
it.
If Yah ain't with you, Cartrell, I don't care how mighty you think you is. Okay? If Yah ain't with the plan goes in disarray. We already learned that in Proverbs. If Yah ain't in the plan, you might as well not even start the plan.
We learned that from Joshua.
Yeah.
Joshua would not make a move unless he was commanded by Yah. And King David knew that lesson very well because he would not make a move ever without consulting Yah first.
And that's the point we're trying to get to, brothers and sisters, fellow students in these studies. See, we ain't taking y'all on a warm, fuzzy feeling about what we used to be and how we used to do it. We take you on these intensive studies so you can ascertain the who, what, when, where, and how as to how you should be doing to get the answers you should need. Okay? We not taking you
on
so
about it.
Yeah, we're not, oh, God damn, we used to be favored. We used to do good things. Oh, Lord, gee willikers. But what good is it doing for you now? You ain't making the application. You ain't learning from the mistakes of our brothers and sisters. What good is you doing to get a warm, fuzzy feeling?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, go ahead.
How many brothers today would cry about their situation and then take it to Yah?
Let me tell you something. If I got a good woman, I'm going to cry. It's not going to roll out my nose. I'm going to wipe my tears because that's going to be
traumatizing. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the average brother today.
I don't know. I can't speak for him. And I go, by the looks of it, the evidence don't lie. You know, she going to die.
So I'm going to show you the difference between our ancient fathers and us today. Because we don't cry like them.
Right.
They cried like babies to the point they lost their strength. Right?
Yeah, you ever cried like
that? That's a lot of crying.
I've cried like that.
You lose your strength.
Man, I've cried like that. When I know dad was coming home to whoop me, or mama's head on me and whoop, I cried.
You're talking about warriors.
Yeah.
Who've been on the battlefields, who have taken the heads of other men. They crying like babies.
I've cried over women. I've cried over women like babies. I've cried over, and I ain't shame in my game. If she was a good woman, I cried. And I don't care what that you think I wasn't no man, don't come and test me. But yeah, I've cried over women. I continue.
Have to get back to that level to where we love our women that much. Where we will cry like babies when we lose them. Because you know what? We're losing them.
Don't get it twisted.
We're losing them.
Don't get
my... We're losing our women to the enemy.
Yeah. Don't get my sensitivity for my women and children twisted. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
We're losing our women to the enemy. Ain't nobody crying. We say, oh, you want to take them. We're going to take white girls. No, that's not the solution to the problem. The solution to the problem. We're losing our women because they have no respect for us.
Right.
And we don't have no feelings for them. We don't cry for them like King David and his mighty men cry for their women.
Yeah, we need to learn to cry for them.
Oh, yeah.
We need to learn to appreciate them. We need to learn to value them. Okay? That's our problem. That's one of our problems, Cartrell.
Don't make you a punk. Because you're crying.
Oh, this old tough guy rocking around with your chest all night and your pants bagging. Tell me you a tough guy. Ain't got no good woman.
You running around in gangs and you can't shoot straight.
Yeah. Shoot everybody, grandma, Ray Ray, Poo Poo. Even shoot the dog off the front. Shoot a little bird in the parrot cage, right out the parrot cage. Ain't shot nobody you shooting at. Real tough guy. Shooting, running back with your eyes closed. Shooting backwards. Yeah, come on now. Let's finish this study, Cartrell, before I lose my strength. Telling the truth.
We should be crying right now.
I am crying right now for our brothers and sisters, the truth be told, Cartrell. And so, King Dawood and 600 men with him set out. They came to the Wadi Bizur, where a halt was made for those who were to be left behind. King Dawood continued pursuit with 400 men. 200 men had halted, too faint. They were too tired to cross the Wadi Bizur. They came upon a Mizraim in the open country and brought him to King Dawood. They gave him food to eat, showed him hospitality and water to drink. It's a way to treat folks. He was also given a piece of pressed fig cake and two cakes of raisin. He ate and regained his strength. For he had eaten no food and drunk no water for 3 days and 3 nights. And then King Dawood asked him. He showed him how to let him eat, get his strength together, show how to treat folk. To whom do you belong and where you from? He said, I'm a Mizraim boy. He answered, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I fell in ill 3 days ago. We had raided the Negev of Keratites and the Negev of Yehuda. In the Negev of Caleb, we also burned down Zelek. And King Dawood said to him, can you lead me down to that band? He replied, swear to me by Yah that which you will not kill me or deliver me into my master. As long as you don't kill me and deliver me into the man's hand that left me here, I will lead you down to that band.
Because you know, snitches get stitches.
Hey, man. Man, hey, I don't blame the little boy. They left the little boy to die. I'd have told on him too. ain't no loyalty. Ain't no loyalty among these cartels. They done left me to die. I'm going to tell them, yeah, I'm going to take it right to them. As long as you don't kill me and return me to him, I'm going to take it right to them. That is right there. And there they were, scattered all over the ground, eating and drinking. Boy, they were having a party, making merry because of the vast spoil they had taken from the land of the Philistines, and both from the land of Jehudah. David, King David, attacked them from before dawn until the evening of he fought them all night long. None of them escaped.
So imagine somebody took your woman, your wife.
Right.
You roll up on them, they partying.
Hey, man, it's going down, Katria. I ain't waiting for you to get through party. I'm going to have me a party. Whooping your ass, okay?
Crashing the party. That's what we're doing.
Exactly. I'm crashing the party. So none of them escaped except for 400 young men who had mounted camels and got away. King David rescued everything the Amalekites had taken. King David also rescued his two wives. Nothing of theirs was missing, young or old, sons or daughters, spoil, or anything else that had been carried off. King David recovered everything. King David took all the flocks and herds which the troops had drove ahead of the other livestock, and they declared, this is King David's spoil. They gave it to him. When King David reached the 200 men, who were too tired to follow King David, I'm going to show you what type of man this man was. What character. This man had character. So unlike some of us. So when it came to the Wadi Bezur, they came at the rest to welcome King David and his troops with him. King David came forth with the troops and greeted them. But all the men and the cheerless fellows among them, the haters, the king among the men who had accompanied King David spoke up. Since they didn't accompany us, we don't have to give them any of the spoils that we see. Except each may take his wife and his children going about his business. They ain't going to get none of this. King David would have being the type of fella of character. However, spoke up for them. You must not do that. My brothers, in view of what Yah has granted us. You can't get selfish now like that, my brothers. In view of what Yah has granted. Y'all ain't grant nothing. Yah granted this. And you can't do that. Guarding us. Delivering into our hands the band that attacked us. How could anyone agree with you in this manner? What you're proposing. Don't give them nothing. The share of those who remain with the baggage shall be the same as those who go down to the battle. They shall share alike. So from that day on, it was made a fixed rule. And when we went to battle for Israel, continuing until the present day, when we were still in charge of it in our land, and it still could be continued when we go back. And some folk can't go to battle. Some folk too tired. Some folks elders. Should they be deprived of everything? Because you young and fit. And you're going to come back, hey, they ain't went nowhere. They ain't going to get none of this. You're lucky you're getting your wife and your children back. That selfish attitude, that don't work for us. And the king pointed this out to y'all. See, y'all didn't win this battle on y'all own. Y'all got the game twisted, okay? Y'all granted you this battle. Y'all guarded you. Y'all took care of you. Now you going to take care of your brother. See, this is king, kind of king, that you wouldn't mind following to the ends of the earth. Because not only he going to look out for you by going to Yah, but he going to look out for you when some old low-down brother or sister ain't going to look out for your best friend. He going to say, hey, no, we ain't going to have none of that. No, that ain't about to happen today, brothers. That ain't the way we do it. They were too tired. They couldn't make it. But we're going to look out for them. They're going to get their fair share like everybody else. Not only their wife, but they're going to get their fair share. It became a fixed rule in our land. All for one and all for one, all for one and one for all. No matter. So
wouldn't that be nice today if we had that same philosophy?
It certainly would be. It certainly would be.
So you got all these millionaires and billionaires.
Oh man, just stop it. You forget that about them. You forget about them because they ain't trying to see no y'all. They ain't trying to hear no y'all, and they certainly ain't looking out for their brothers and sisters. Okay.
So these are the same brothers that when he first rolled up on the scene, they cried until they was weak.
Right.
King David went to the Most High and said, "We need to go and get our stuff back." They went and got it back. Before they did that, they wanted to stone King David. Right. Let's stone this nigga.
Hey, bro. We certainly got Pitbull mentality, don't we?
They went and got their stuff back, plus y'all blessed them with more. And now they don't want to share with the brothers that stayed behind.
Right, Trio. Pitbull mentality. We certainly got it.
Yep.
We're so quick to forget and so quick to be selfish and self-centered, not looking out for the best interest of the nation, but looking out for the best interest of an individual. Does not suffice us as a nation, does not make us strong as a nation. It weakens us as a nation, and it makes us more selfish and pit bull mentality. Oh, it's true.
That's why we need to think like King David. All
exactly.
For one and one it's for all.
No matter.
Right.
So when King David reached Ziklag, he sent some of the spoils to the elders. Hey, man, this man had... Man, you got to like this brother. The man had respect for the old school. He sent some of the spoils to the elder of Yehuda in his tribe and to his friends, saying, "This is a present. This is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of Yah." He sent the spoil to the elders at Bethel, Ramoth Negev, and Jephthah. And Aurora, Shepha, Estamor, and Raka, in the towns of the Jerahmelites, and in the towns of the Kenites, in the Homoth, Bo-Ashan, Athach, and to those in Hebron, all the places where King David and his men had run. Wherever they'd been, they sent them something. They showed them. They say everybody got to eat off the plate. Everybody get something off the plate. You gotta love this man. I certainly do. And I hope you love him so much, just like I do, just like Cartier do, that you apply his behavior to your character. Because it can't hurt you. It can only help you. Go ahead, Cartier.
So we can see how the Most High deals with our people, especially our king.
Right.
Because in his mind, he's on the run from King Saul. He got to stay with the Philistine because he got no alternative.
Right.
Yet he's still fighting the enemy of the other nation. He's fighting the Amalekites and smashing them and taking their stuff, convinced the Philistines that, you know, he's not a threat to them.
Right.
But he's fighting the battle for the nation of Israel while he's on the run from our own king. And our
right.
own king, if he wasn't, you know, caught up in himself, things would be going well for him if he was aligned with King David, but we don't seem to like each other too much. Unfortunately, even the men that were with David was ready to kill him. How ridiculous is that?
Totally ridiculous.
What would they have done? Turned him into King Saul because their wives and children were missing? I guess they would have.
Stoned him
and took him back to King Saul.
Yeah, they about to do King Saul or dirty. No, not, excuse me, I apologize. They were about to do King David a dirty.
They just see that the presence of the Most High was with him. Yeah. So you ain't just putting your hands on him like that.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Contra. They ain't been with this man all this time. Come on, man. And what possessed them for any moment to think, we're going to lay hands on you? Because you is the primary reason we over there with them Philistines, they didn't burned our town and took our women and took everything we own. See,
the first sign of a problem, we ready to turn on each other.
Man, come on. Is it Cartrell? It happens here.
Yeah.
It happens here, my brother.
Yeah.
You know,
I knew y'all was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I should have been doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know? adversity comes in everybody's path.
Exactly.
The Most High is only testing you to see which way you're going to turn. Are you
going
to turn to me first, or are you going to turn to the left or to the right and try to figure it out for yourself?
Exactly.
King David never tried to figure it out for himself. He always, always, every time. That's why he has so many songs. He always turns to the Most High first. And that's a habit we need to make a part of our being, because that's the spiritual side that we neglect. Yeah, we mentally strong, physically strong, but we're not spiritually strong. And he's showing his spiritual power, because he always put the Most High first, and the Most High always gave him the solution to his problems.
Exactly.
And blessed him on top of it.
Amen, brother.
Blessed him on top of it.
Amen.
Solve the problem and bless him too.
Well, that's if you seek Yah first and foremost, Cartrell. That's how it works out.
Yeah.
That's how it works
out. So we're seeing a pattern that we need to follow. And he said to himself, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. It's all for the glory of Yah. And we're seeing Yah being glorified and magnified in the life of King David.
Exactly. He
always put Yah first, and Yah always delivered.
Gave Yah his props.
That's right, every time. And then, in receiving the victory, he treated the people right. Like, no, this ain't all for us. We got to share it.
Yeah.
With the people that wasn't here.
I ain't no respect. Right. Y'all gave us this, man. Come on now.
That's
we
right.
Got to share it up.
Everybody.
We got to give. We got to break bread. Everybody got to eat off this paper, player. One for all and all.
Everybody. He said he went everywhere he roamed and gave everybody something.
Everybody ate off the table, Cartrell.
That's right.
Okay.
That's supposed to be, y'all. Let's get to that level. We do good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know how we do now, because we've been westernized. I got mine. You better get yours.
And that's how westerners do it.
Yeah.
Put yourself up by your own bootstrap.
Yeah, with no boots. All right, Cartrell and fellow students. If Cartrell's done with his commentary, I certainly am. And we're going to move right along into our final study. And the book is Ecclesiastes, I think, chapter 6, Cartrell. And memory serves me correct.
Ecclesiastes, chapter 6.
Okay.
Away from my computer.
Okay. All right. Students, go to chapter 6 in your books. Well, Cartrell, I'm waiting on that old computer you got. Man, get you a new computer. They don't even use them no more. Get you a laptop. They don't do dial-ins no more, Cartrell. AOL.
You better leave my Mac Apple Pro alone.
I've been playing with you, bro. You know I love you, dog. Go ahead. Hear your business.
Yes, sir. So we in the preacher's book, our King Solomon. He's just popping off at the top of his head, telling you what's going on between the sun and the earth, how mundane we look at things. All right?
Right.
That's all we see is the cycles around the sun. We count our birthdays and, you know, time, the limited time we have. We're not really looking at the eternal beyond our life under the sun. So he's giving a synopsis. So we give thanks to the Most High for our King Solomon and the wisdom and the knowledge and the jewels that he left behind for us to even meditate on. Ecclesiastes chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
There's an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. I think we've seen that same evil, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it is common among men.
For sure.
A man to whom Elohim has given riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself of all he desires. Yet Elohim does not give him power to eat of it, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity, and it is an evil and an evil affliction. Yeah, so we've seen people, rich nations, get taken over by greater and powerful nations, like what happened to America, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Native Americans that lived here lived in paradise. No pollution, They was in harmony with the land and the animals and the trees and the plants until the Europeans came. It started to industrialize. Now everything is polluted. Everything is destroyed. They had riches beyond your imagination. He says, if a man begets 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed he has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than he, for it comes in vanity and departs in darkness, and its name is covered with darkness, though it has not seen the sun or known anything. This has more rest than that man, even if he lives 1,000 years twice, but has not seen goodness. Do not all go to one place. So a rich man could live in misery with his riches, could have all these children and still not be happy. And how many people are living like that right now? It says, all the labor of a man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. For what more has the wise man than the fool? What does the poor man have who knows how to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. This also is vanity and a grasping for the wind. So the wise man, fool, we all under the sun, and we all have to live life with its ups and downs, with its challenges. And he's trying to say, what's the difference? Because we're all going to go to the same place. Whatever one is, he has been named already. For it is known that he is man. And he cannot contend with him, Yah, who is mightier than he. Since there are many things that increase vanity, how is man the better? So in no way, shape, or form is man better than the Most High God. And why do we contend with him rather than to comply with his instructions for us? Because you're not going to get away with what you think you're going to get away with as long as it's outside the boundaries of what he's commanded us to do. He's not compromising. So why contend with Yah? It's better to comply. For who knows what is good for man in life? We don't know. We didn't create ourselves. The Most High knows what is good for man in life, which is why we need to follow what? His instruction. All the days of his life, of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow. Who could tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? So we have prophets that can tell you what will happen to you. We have wise men who could direct your steps, whether you live in a foolish life or a wise life. Your life is predictable based on the choices that you make. But we should not be contending with Yah. We should be complying with Yah. Because he said, who knows what is good for man in life? Do we know? We don't know what's good for life. We're trying to figure out life. So in figuring out life, you should go to the Creator who created life and follow his instructions so that you will live a better life. Leaning upon your own understanding, you're not finding the good way that Yah has provided for us. So there's so much in this, so much to meditate on. And why do we continue to contend with Yah, who is mightier than us? It says that your arms are too short to box with God. So you might as well stop trying. I'm talking about all mankind, not just the children of Israel.
Well, that was a short chapter.
A penny for your thought.
All right.
Well, Cottrell, if you don't have any more commentaries, I certainly don't. And
no, I'm done.
We're going to end this study session. We pray that the word we share with you of Yah goes further than just being the superficial. It becomes an innate part of your nature, that you apply it to your life. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Cottrell, fellow students, Cottrell and I, we don't know where y'all are going, but we know this for certain. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, to give you, to immerse you into these studies. They can help enhance and improve your studies and become second nature to you. We love you. May the Most High bless you, give you a new heart, just like King David, that loves him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your brothers and sisters as yourself, and that thirst after righteousness. May the Most High bless you, because the change certainly is going to come. We love you, and good night.
A long time coming, but I know.